As we've been looking at making sure we're headed down the right path, making sure that we are doing what we're supposed to. Different paths lead different ways. And it's important to remember that you're headed, like I said, I don't want to spend my entire Christian life serving the Lord and working hard and not get where I think God wants me to be. Now let's remember, we're not talking about working our way to heaven. That's not it. We know that we're saved by grace. We know that we're saved by grace through faith. But in our Christian lives, lots of times people will spend so much of their time working and doing religious things over and over and over and really truly not pleasing the Lord. Really, truly not accomplishing what God wants them to accomplish. They'll spend their entire lives just working themselves harder and harder and harder, never truly relying on God. So the first thing we looked at in the first week, we looked at having the right heart. The right heart's important. We remember what we looked at. It says that those that are pure in heart, they shall see God. If you really, truly want to see God work in your life, make sure your heart was pure. And we looked at a lot of different things, what it means to have a pure heart. Last week, we talked about having a pure conscience, a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. This week, we're going to look at this thought of having the right purpose. Now, in our Christian lives, we have a purpose. We have a reason for being here. We have a reason that God has saved us. And we've been looking at that a little bit on Sunday mornings about stewarding our life. God saved us. Yes, he saved us from hell, but also the reason why he has saved us is to bring glory and honor to him. And also the reason, the purpose why we're here is to bring glory and honor to him, plus bring other people to Christ. So when we look at all the different things and the ministry and the purposes that we have, are we working towards that purpose? Are we working to get to that area and that spot? Now, you know I like the book of Nehemiah. We've gone through the book of Nehemiah as a church, and it's just he has a purpose and an interest, and he's excited about serving God. He hears that the walls are broken down. He hears about the nation is in despair and in great affliction, and what does he want to do? He wants to help them. There's a purpose for what he's doing. He doesn't do it because he's going to get some type of self-gratification. He doesn't do it because he's going to make him a lot of money. He doesn't do it because it's a lot of hard work for Nehemiah. And we like to look at some things that what's going to help our country. You know, why did God make the nation of Israel? And when we went through the books of the Bible week after week and looked at the different reasons for the book of the Bible, we learned that Israel was set aside for a purpose of giving a testimony of who God was. And God worked miraculously through them, bringing through them the Red Sea, giving them the promised land, at least as much as they were willing to take over. God had a purpose and a plan, and there was a right purpose. And Nehemiah said, hey, after about 100 years after they had been taken away by Babylon, they go back and ask, well, how's the city going? How's Jerusalem going? How's the nation of Israel going? And they said, it's not good. And Nehemiah says, you know what? That's not the purpose, not the reason why God had Israel there. So Nehemiah gets burdened for his nation and burdened for his country, and he kind of revives some stones, revives some things of purpose to try to help his nation. So this morning's lesson is going to be the idea of trying to how to help our nation by reviving the stones of purpose in ministry. Why we have a church, why we have a purpose, and how we can help not only our families, but also help our churches. Because when we help our families, it's going to help our churches. And when it helps our churches, you know what it's going to do? It's going to help our states. And when it helps our states, it's going to help our nation. But the only reason and the only way that we're going to be strong is if we stand strong in the Bible. We should have a strong stand on the Word of God. As Bible-believing Christians, I believe God desires to use the truth of His Word as a wall of protection in this land. Every Christian who would take a strong stand on the Word of God is a part of God's plan of spiritual protection for our great nation. The church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of truth, and God has used His local churches in the past to be that spiritual wall. And the reason why that spiritual wall has deteriorated and we see so much corruption and we see so much wickedness is because our churches many times have let down the strength of the stand of the Word of God they have. They have taken and they've fallen short of what God desires them to be. And because of that, we become weak as a nation. I know you could talk about the deficit. And I know you could talk about terrorist problems. I know you could talk about this problem. There's a long list of problems when it comes to our country and our nation. But if our church would be what it's supposed to be, then we could act as that wall of protection. And I want to encourage you today with some different things that Nehemiah saw his nation. What did he do? He fasted, he prayed, he persisted in his work. He understood his purpose. He understood what prayer would do. So let's look at a few things here this morning about reviving the stones of ministry. And this is the idea of this morning's lesson is, as a church, why are we here? Remember, what is the church? The building? We have a nice building. No, we are the church. The people are the church. So what is our purpose here? Do we have this desire? Nehemiah hears, and Nehemiah could have said, oh, that's a shame. Nehemiah could have said, that's really sad. Nehemiah has a good job. He is the cupbearer for the king. He's probably very well taken care of. He's a cupbearer is known to be someone who's very well trusted, very well someone they could ask their opinion on, someone the king leaned on greatly in many areas and many times. Nehemiah has this opportunity. He doesn't need anything from Jerusalem, but his heart is broken. And you might say, well, I don't need anything in my world today. I'm good. But is our heart broken for our country? Let's look what it says in Nehemiah chapter 1. Look at verses 1 through 4. And it says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Shislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and a certain man of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So what happened here, most of you I know are familiar with the story, so that's why we're not going too much detail about it. But 100 years ago, Babylon had came over, they had taken the nation of Israel, they drug them back, and they were put underneath that time and that opportunity to in slavery. Now, at a certain point in time, there was an opportunity to go back and build up the nation again. A few went back and built up the nation. Most stayed over in the different areas. Obviously, Babylon was not the world power at that time, but a few had gone back to take care of the nation, to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and to begin to reestablish Israel in its homeland. And so what's happening in verse number 2, Nehemiah, who's in Shushan the palace, he sees someone that's from Jerusalem. He knows that they're there, and he's excited. He says, hey, what's going on back home? What's going on in Jerusalem? How's the walls going? How's the city being built? And they said in verse number 3, an answer that I believe took him by surprise. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. And reproach, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So he hears, things are bad. Things are tough. Things are not going the way that really that they expected. You know, this remnant gone back, it just didn't turn out the way it should have. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, look what happens, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, we know there's many great needs in our lives, in our church's lives, and in our country's lives. Lord, as we just kind of go back and look at some things about having the right purpose. Lord, if we really truly want to end up in the right spot, a life that God is using, a life that God is blessing, a life that we see God working, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of contentment, Lord, we're going to be going down the right path. And Lord, I pray that we be pure in heart. Lord, I pray that we have a pure conscience. And Lord, with that pure heart and that pure conscience, I pray that we look at this idea of having the right purpose in life. Why are we here? God, why did you give us the gift of this life? And Lord, I pray as we see our nation and our country that you place us here in this place, in this country, in this time, for such a reason, and for such a time as this. Lord, that we understand that our purpose is not all about us and what we want to do, but Lord, instead the difference that we can make with your power and with your spirit in the day and time that we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's a couple things I want you to think about, and I hope that this will help you some. The first thing I want you to think about is, you know, is reviving the stone of prayer. If we were honest with ourselves, there is some wood, hay, and stubble in all our life. You say, what do you mean by wood, hay, and stubble? There are some things in our lives that really just is not all in for God. There are some things that maybe we enjoy doing. There are some things that we put time and effort in. Really, it's just maybe for us. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with enjoying things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the right type of entertainment. I'm not saying there's anything. But, you know, having the right heart and the right conscience will lead to us having the right purpose. Nehemiah hears this. He hears what's going on in this nation. He hears what's going on in this city. And he becomes burdened. And when you're talking about reviving the stone of prayer, you see what he does. What does he do? He begins to pray. It says not only did he pray, he sat down and he wept and he mourned certain days and he fasted and he prayed before the God of heaven and he was asking God. So we got to remember, if we're going to revive the stone of prayer, the first thing we got to remember is the fact that we need to be burdened. As you see here, the prayer of a burdened heart. You see this man is burden for his nation. He's burden for his country. I mean, when is the last time we were really burdened for our nation or country? I know we might have political debates and we might stand for what's right. And I think that's good. I think there is a way as Christians, being good citizens, to be able to stand for the things of God and be able to stand in our community and stand in our society and stand, this is what's right. And this is how we're going to vote. And this is how we're going to try to use our influence to try to make America a better nation. But a burdened heart will not just do things that are physically. You see what Nehemiah does? He does the more harder thing, I believe. He stops and he prays. He stops and he prays. His heart is burdened. He desired to see God's hand working in and through his life. He desired to see Jerusalem protected once again. When is the fact that we have become burdened for our nations? When is it the fact that if we're going to revive these stones of things of purpose in our life, one of the greatest things that we have to do is revive the stone of prayer. And you know what? I mean, it begins with having a burden. It begins with seeing. And you see the Old Testament prophets, he talked about, I think it was in Habakkuk, he saw the burden. It was something that it was in his heart. It was something that was so heavy on his heart. All he could do was take it to God because he knew he could not make a difference on his own. Nehemiah, he is burdened, and as he is burdened for God and burdened for his people, you know what he does? He prays. The problem is, many of us, what's our biggest concerns? Are our biggest concerns burden for our nation and for our churches and our families? Are our biggest concerns fleshly things? Are they things that we care about so much that we care more about that than we do God? Do we truly want to see revival? Do we truly want to see God work? As our heart, are we allowing our heart to become the heart of God when he sees the sin and his heart is broken for it? You know, sometimes people come to church and they come for different reasons. Sometimes people come to church and they're excited about when church ends. You know, we shouldn't be excited about when church ends. We should be excited about what's going on in church. That doesn't give the preacher more of a chance to preach longer. No, but at the same time, church is something that we should be excited about and hearing from God and saying, okay, it's not about, hey, is the preacher going to get done by noon? And we know that normally doesn't happen. You know, it's not about, hey, what's going to happen in the ball game afterwards? And, you know, I enjoy watching a football game here or then, especially if the Steelers are winning. That's something that's really enjoyable for me. But, you know, but that is not what our mindset should be. It's not, man, if the preacher goes 5 or 10 minutes longer, I'm going to be last in line at the restaurant. You know, that's not the purpose why we have church. That just is not it. And when we come to it, do we have a burdened heart? Do we come to church seeking to see God, I want you to speak to me. God, I've been praying for it all week. I've been looking for it. I've been reading. I've been studying. God, my heart is pure. My conscience is pure. And I'm here for the right purpose. I'm here for the right reason. I want to hear from God. And God, fill the pastor with the Holy Spirit's power. And Lord, you know, speak to my heart. And so often we come for the wrong reasons. I know they talk about, you know, people come to see what other people are wearing. And the funny thing is, I've heard people talk about that. You know, latest fashions, something they think is inappropriate. I'm thinking, well, what did you hear from the preaching? What did you hear from the Bible? That's the preacher's job. He's not doing a good enough job. But in all reality, is our hearts prepared for it? Are our hearts burdened? Nehemiah here, he hears it. His heart. And if we're ever going to revive this stone of prayer, if we're ever going to say, man, prayer has got to be a building block. This has got to be the one that's got to be a foundational thing. Prayer has got to be, our hearts are going to have to be burdened. We're going to have to see the purpose of it. We're going to have to be willing to. As you see, he says that his heart not only was burdened, he sat down, he wept, he mourned, and certain days, and he fasted, and he prayed before the Lord. R.A. Torrey once said, we are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but have accomplished very little. We have many service, but few conversions. Much machinery, but very few results. Why is that? Because sometimes we're just too busy to pray. This is something I want to be better at. And a person who is satisfied with their prayer life is probably someone who isn't really burdened. There's someone that, you know, I'm always looking to pray more and always looking to be a better steward when it comes to my prayer life. Next thing I want you to see here is found in verse number 6. Not only is it a prayer that had a burden, it's also a prayer that burned with compassion. It burned with, look what it says in verse number 6. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now. And look what it says, day and night. Now look who it's for. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. So you see in this passage of scripture, who is he praying for? He's not praying for himself per se. He's praying for the children of Israel. When that wall gets built and when they reestablish that and they go through all these things, how is Nehemiah going to be improved? Is he going to have a better position back in Shushan? No. Is he going to get great notoriety? Not in that day and time. He got ridiculed and people looked to him as the leader. I mean, today we might think, oh, yeah, Nehemiah's got a book in the Bible that's named after him. Back then, that's not the reason why he did it. He did it because he wanted to revive something that was dead. And if we want to revive a church or even inside our own hearts that is missing the point and missing our purpose, and what's the whole reason why we're talking about is having the right purpose, it starts with prayer and it starts with having a burdened heart, but it's also a heart that has to have compassion. You know, we turn around, we look at people sometimes and we're like, you know, that person's getting what they deserve. And that nation of Israel, they went back and he says, oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Somebody should go help them. How many times we hear that? Nehemiah, when he's praying, not only he's praying, he's getting his heart right. And as he gets his heart right, he has a compassion for the people that are there in the nation of Israel. There are people in our city that need someone to have compassion on them. There are people who are looking for someone to have compassion on them. There are people that are looking that they need Christ. And they need someone who's going to say, hey, I have Christ, and I'm going to share that with somebody. I was reading in a study that over 6 billion people today in the world. Probably within the next 50 years, they're saying there's probably going to be over 9 billion people. That's a lot of people. And people talk about all the different things, like I wonder how we're going to take care of them electronically. I wonder how we're going to take care of them food-wise. And those are all good things to try to figure out. But would God burden someone's heart and say, I wonder who's going to take care of them spiritually? I wonder who's going to take care of that extra 3 billion because we're not reaching the 7 billion all that well. Who's going to take care? Because that's our purpose as a church. To reach people for Christ. If we have the right heart and we have the right conscience, it's going to drive, it's going to take us to this right purpose. And it's going to say, hey, the church is supposed to be that pillar and ground of the truth. The church is supposed to be that lighthouse. What are we going to do to reach those? And I know we're part of a mission program. I understand that. And I know that many of you give towards that. And we have a blessing. I mean, it's a blessing how much we give as a church compared to our size. I'm thankful for that. That's a great blessing. But when is the last time we prayed with a burdened heart and a compassionate heart? See, Nehemiah prays this way. You know what Nehemiah is praying that way is going to happen? He's going to end up doing something about it. If you're praying that way, you know what's going to happen? Something's going to happen inside your own heart and your own soul. And that's when God's going to be able to work in your life too. Let's look at the next thing. It's a prayer of confession. A prayer of confession. Look what it says in verse number 6 once again. He says towards the end, it says, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Revival will not come to America until confession and repentance have been takes place. It's just not going to happen. The right purpose for our church will not happen until our hearts are right. That's not going to happen until we confess to God our sins. And the praise the Lord, he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's given us that promise. But confession is an important thing. We can't let sin stay in our heart. Once again, if we want to have the right heart and the right conscience and have the right purpose in our life, we got to confess when we sin. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You're not going to make it down that right path if you have sin that you're covering up. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. The Bible even says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Many of us have resistance towards the flesh. Many of us have resistance toward looking at our pride and toward looking at our divisiveness. And many of us look at this and say, that's not me. I'm not that. But when's the last time we went before God with a heart that was burdened and compassionate and say, God, I need you to make sure I'm clean. I see what's going on in this world and I'm burdened for this world and I'm confessing that I want to be used by you and I want to have the right purpose. And I know that I'm not going to have the right purpose if I allow sin to stay in my life. Lord, show me, search me, show me that wicked way that's in me. Know my thoughts. Know those thoughts. And as you know those thoughts, Lord, show, because I'm not going to be able to do my purpose. I know. And you say, Pastor, my purpose in life is to be the right wife. If you're the right Christian, you're going to be the right wife. My purpose in life to be the right grandparent, the right husband, the right father. This is my purpose. The closer you get to God, the better you're going to be at all those things. And here's the thing is, do you have a burdened heart? Because you're never going to revive that stone unless you're burdened. Do you have a compassion for the people? Are you willing to get your heart right and confess sins? And then it's a prayer that's based on God's word. Look what it says, verses 8 and 9. And he said, remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest thy servant. Nehemiah 1, verse number 8. Moses saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. And that's exactly what's happened. So Nehemiah is reminding him of the fact that you made that promise. That's what happened. That's why Nehemiah is in Shushan and they're in Jerusalem. But he says in verse number 9, but if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from hence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. I love, you go through the Bible and you read sometimes these Old Testament guys, and I love hearing them pray the back the prayers that God said. God, you said you would do this. And I think that's what, when we go through prayer time, we look at prayer lists and we talk about, there's prayer promises God says, you know, call unto me and I will answer thee. And sometimes when I'm talking to God, God, you told me you're going to answer me. God, you've told me you're going to show me great and mighty things. And I'm not doing that in a prideful way. I'm reminding him, God, this is your great promises. This is what you said. And if we would pray biblically based off the word of God, if our heart was burdened and compassionate, if we go and say that, hey, we're bearing precious seed. We want to doubtless come again bearing that precious seed. We go forth rejoicing. You know, if we go forth weeping, and it's based off the word of God. And as we look at this story, let's remember the chief end of prayer is that God would get glorified in that answer. The chief end of prayer is that God is going to get glory in this answer. And that's what Nehemiah is saying. There's a problem here, God. We need to fix this problem. And you see Nehemiah, he is willing to do it. Look what it says in verse number 11. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So he knows that God's put something upon his heart, and now he's willing to be used. He says, Lord, okay, if you give me the opportunity, I'm going to do what you told me to do. It wasn't just having a burden. It wasn't just being compassionate and being right. It wasn't just saying the prayer. He says, okay, God, now I'm willing to be used by you. You show me the way. The book of Nehemiah is a fascinating book, and it's fantastic in all the things. And I know we see people that are getting blessed, and you see ministries that God is using. And sometimes I ask pastors, it's like, how in the world do you see that type of growth? Almost every time I ask, it says prayer. Prayer is the thing that makes a difference in people's lives. But do we pray? And I know on Sunday nights we looked at, this past September, looked at praying, but we can't get back to having this right purpose unless we're willing to be a person of prayer. Let's look at the next thing, reviving the stone of purpose. Prayer always sets a godly direction and purpose in your life. Look what it says in chapter number 2. It's probably the next page over in your Bible. Chapter number 2, look what it says in verse number 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So they were sad. Why were they sad? They were sad because someone actually cared about the nation of Israel enough to go after them and help them. They were upset. They knew exactly what they were doing there. They knew exactly what the purpose of them being there was. And they said, you know what? They were sad in the fact that somebody actually would care about them. And I wonder how many of us would really care for the welfare of other people. How many of us really care for the welfare of the children? You say, Pastor, I give at that, you know, that charity and that charity and that charity. Nehemiah here, you can see that his purpose understood that there was personal involvement involved. Look what it says in verse 17. And you know throughout the whole story, Nehemiah leads this through. This is after Nehemiah is gone. He's looked at the walls and he's been burdened. He comes back. He gets the group of people together. And he says in verse number 17, ye see the distress that we are in. how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach. Now, is Nehemiah's house even here? No. Is Nehemiah's family even here? Well, we know that he said it was a brother in his that came, but his personal family, if he had one, was it? No. But why is, he says, but look what it says there. It says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. There's a personal involvement that's there. And he was saying that this is something that we all had to do. God begins to give him a biblical purpose for this ministry. God begins to say, hey, look, okay, it's having a burdened heart and confessing and being compassionate and praying back to God is one thing, but the right purpose does not stop with prayer. The right purpose is getting involved. Are we involved in what God wants us to do? And I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but at the same time, do you want to head down? Do you want to be in that path? Do you want to be in that spot where you know God's going to bless and you're going to see God work and you know that God's going to be, you're going to bear fruit and you're going to bear fruit from the Holy Spirit and to see people saved and that life of joy, life of peace? You're going to have to get physically involved in a ministry to do that. You're just going to have to be involved in serving God somehow. And giving is nice, but giving is not enough. That's not all God wants you to do. God wants you to pray, and God wants you to get involved. There's no replacement for your presence in serving God. There is no replacement for your presence in serving God. Think about the deacons in Acts chapter number 6 who were among the people. They were serving along with them. Nehemiah did not say, okay, I'll get this all started, I'll organize it, and then you guys go to town. What he says, let us build the wall. Let us do this. And I know, understand that the leader sometimes doesn't get the same opportunities to spend as much time. Like you consider all the ministries that are here at Faith Baptist Church. I'd like to be a part of a lot of them, if not all of them, doing a little of it. But if you try to do something in every single one, it's just not going to work that way because one person can't. But that's why there's more that's needed. And that's why there's personal involvement in this thing. He says, it's not just about praying. It's now, if you want the right purpose for your life, you have to get physically involved. You have to, there has to be something that you say, hey, I know I can do this. I can't do much, but I know I can help do this. Get involved in serving. Whether it's soul winning, which I think we all should be a witness, whether it be helping clean or helping teach or helping run a bus route or helping, there's a long, big range. And it's not my job to figure out what God wants you to do. It's you pray and you turn, like you said, you revive the stone of prayer and you get a burdened heart and you have compassion, your heart's right. God's going to reveal this. Prayer will always set a direction, a godly direction and purpose in your life. And when you have that type of heart, yes, you're going to still care for your family. Yes, you're going to still care. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, my purpose in this world isn't just about me. It's about how I can serve him. That's what Nehemiah, he sees this. He begins praying. And what does God do? God sends him to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, what does God do then? He does miraculous things, and he goes and he gets burdened by seeing his city. And sometimes when we walk and we see the crowds, we get upset. Oh, look at all these people. Look at all these cars. But inside our mind could be, look at all these people that need Christ. You know, we see people that look different than us or act differently than us, and we're like, man, that person is a mess. But we don't pray for them. We don't pull out a gospel track and say, hey, let me invite you to my church. Instead, we say, that person's a mess. They need some help. But we have the help. We need to get physically involved in it. And it starts with praying, because prayer will give us the heart that gives us a godly reason. And then he has a purpose that's shared by the people. Look what it says in verse number 18. He says, Nehemiah says, let us build. Verse number 18, you see the response. Then I told them, this is still Nehemiah talking, of the hand of my God. So he shares to them his vision. He shares to him what God has laid upon his heart as him praying, him fasting, him going before the king, how God had answered all these prayers. And after looking at the walls, he comes to them and he brings them together and he says, look, we're in trouble. Let us build up the wall. Verse number 18, he tells them how God had been on his heart. You're never going to be able to explain something, what God's been doing on your heart, unless you're praying. You're never going to be able to share that with someone unless you let God work and move in your heart. It says in verse number 18, the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. So he tells them the whole story. And what did they say? And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They got involved. You know what? They heard it. And they says, you know what? You're right, Nehemiah. There is a huge problem here. Let us do this. And that's what we need to do as a church. There is a problem. There is a need. Let us do this together. And don't get me wrong. I think we have a wonderful church. We got wonderful people here. And we take good care of the buildings. And we take care of one another inside our church family. And we do a lot of good things. But are we keeping the main thing the main thing? Are we providing the purpose? Do we glorify God? Yes. We glorify God when we treat one another well and when we take care of the facilities and when we give. But what is our right purpose? Are we burdened for our nation? Are we burdened for others? Do we pray like that? And do we get physically involved? And when we talk about bringing people in or when we talk about winning people to Christ, you know, is it a personal involvement that we're saying, okay, I get it. The Bible says it. I understand it. And so what's my purpose? It's to bring glory to God and to bring other people to Christ. Then it's got to be shared by other people too. It can't just be my passion. It can't be your passion and not mine. It's something we should share together as a group. If we truly want our church to be going to the right purpose and we really truly want our lives to go to the right purpose, seeing God getting people together to do his work is a wonderful thing. You know, I think about the story of Jonathan, and we don't have time to turn to it, but you remember the armor bearer? And he had gone out with his armor bearer, he had left the thing, and they saw the Philistines, and Jonathan told everything that was in his heart. If they do this, let's go attack them. There's only two of them, but there's many Philistines. If they say this, that means God's going to be with us. And if I was Jonathan's armor bearer, I would say, Jonathan, you're crazy. What in the world are you talking about? But you know what Jonathan's armor bearer said? Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. You know what? When God's purpose is shared with others, it should be something that we want to get involved with. If someone comes to me and says, God's put this on my heart to work on this ministry and do these things, you know, that's something many times I want to get involved in. And, you know, am I going to get that from someone who doesn't come to church? I'm probably not going to put as much credence in someone who doesn't come to church, who isn't already involved in these other things. But a person who has a burdened heart and compassionate heart, who's serving and says, hey, pastor, what do you think about this ministry? God's been working on my heart about something like this. It's something we share with others. It's something that God allows us to share with others. It's something that we turn around and we say, okay, we need this. We need to work on this. And we as a church, there's a few areas that we could strengthen our hands at doing. There's a few areas that we could say, hey, we need to be better at. And one of those areas is our outreach, is telling other people that we do not know about Christ. Let's keep on going. So not only do we see... we see that a stone of purpose is something that we see Nehemiah said he had to personally get involved. If Nehemiah had written a letter from the Shushan the palace saying, you guys need to build that wall, what do you think they would have done? They would have laughed at him. They would have said, you come here and build the wall. But when they saw Nehemiah come all the way from Shushan, once again, in a great purpose and with a great job that he had, and they came with all the king's things that he granted them, all the lumber that they needed. They saw God working. They had heard the testimony already. They saw all these things. And then Nehemiah says, let's do this. They said, you're right. Let's do this. We can do this. And that's what we got to remember, our purpose in life. It's personally getting involved. It would be wrong, or it is wrong, if I turn around and tell you that we should be telling people about Christ and I don't do it. It'd be wrong for me to tell you that I think you should give, and I don't do it. It'd be wrong for me to say those things. And the same thing, not only do we need to get personally involved, we need to share God's burden with other people. Let's look at the next thing, is reviving the stone of persistence. Now, we remember this from the story, I think it was last summer, we went through the book of Nehemiah. We remember this through the story. People did not stand up and clap because he came. First thing you see here, you have persistence to ridicule. If we went through this story and we talked about having a heart that was burdened, having a heart that was compassionate, having a heart that was clean, having a heart that was being used by God, we would all say, yes, that's something we need. That's good. Let's sign up for that. And then we say, okay, we need to be personally involved. You need to share in the vision of your pastor or other people that God's laid things upon their heart. Okay, sign me up. The persistence sometimes is the issue. I think we could talk and talk and talk about prayer and need and be like, amen, pastor, you got it. That's right. I need that. But are we persistent through it? Look, like I said, first of all, it's a persistence through ridicule. We know in that story that many people ridicule. Just look at what it says in verse number 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem and the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. When they heard that these people were going to begin to build a wall, they began mocking. They began laughing. They're going to ask questions like, well, what do those people think they're doing? Do you think prayer really is going to work? Do you think personal involvement's really going to work? Do you really think, and this, you see what happens is they're being ridiculed, they're being scorned, and despised us, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will you rebel against the king? Well, the king's already given the authority. But I want you to remember this, that if you're going to be persistent, you got to remember that there are going to be people who ridicule you. There are going to be people who do not understand. Unfortunately, sometimes that is inside your own house. Unfortunately, that is sometimes even in your own church house. Unfortunately, that is definitely usually at an ungodly workplace. Why is that? You got to remember, the devil doesn't like it when people begin to pray. The devil doesn't like it when people get to be burdened and confess and be compassionate. The devil doesn't like it when we begin to tell God and believe God's word and God's promises and say, God, I'm trusting you in this. God, please help me. And then they get personally involved and then they share their vision and God begins to work in their heart and mind. The devil's not going to sit there and tell you, oh, go ahead. I'm going to leave you alone. It seems like you're doing a good job. No, he's going to find someone who's going to ridicule you. He's going to find someone who's going to laugh at you. He's going to find someone who's just going to be maybe even a close friend of you and question you and say, why would you do that? Oh, that's just what that preacher says, or that's an old book. Then you don't need to listen to that book. But we got to remember, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul was saying here, and he was being challenged in 2 Corinthians for his apostleship and his ministry. And he says, look, we've received this ministry. This ministry didn't come from me, it came from God. And because we receive this ministry, we also receive mercy. That means we have the mercy to continue on and continue on working and fighting. That God's grace will be able to help us endure and persist even during a time of ridicule. And all throughout the book of Nehemiah, there's people who ridiculed him. All throughout Nehemiah, it's going to seem like this work and this faith is impossible. But God instead says, you know what? You can make it happen. Many times, opportunity will swing on the doors of opposition. Opportunity swings on the doors of opposition. We're not going to stop. We're going to continue on. We're going to even continue to persist in days of adversity. Once again, we want to be on the right path. Many of you have been saved for many years. How are we headed? Do we have the right heart? Do we have the right conscience? Do we have the right purpose in life? Also, you see, there's going to be times of ridicule. There are also going to be times of discouragement. Go to chapter number 4. In chapter number 4, it shows there was a time when the nation became a little bit tired. They became a little bit weak. Chapter number 4, verse number 10, the Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So they begin building. They begin working hard. They begin, even though they're ridiculed, even though they're questioned by their enemies and people that are around them, they begin to laugh at them. But as they're beginning to build, they're becoming obstacles. Instead of looking at the wall and looking how much that they have done, it says that the bearers of the burdens is decayed and there is much rubbish. So instead of staying focused on their goal, you know what they start looking at? They start looking at the rubbish. They start looking at the problems. They start looking at the things that are going to slow them down. And in your Christ, in your Christian life, there is going to be some things that are going to try to slow you down. There are going to be some things that are rubbish. Sometimes people will get around people who want to focus on the rubbish and the problems of the stones instead of building the stones. Sometimes there's people who will sit there and point at, well, I don't think it should be done this way, or I don't think it should be done this way or that way. And they're not helping build the stones at all. They're not really encouraging. They're not involved in the work. Instead, there's someone who's trying to decay them and cause them not to do the work. Instead, there's someone sitting in the back and just mocking at it, or maybe becoming bitter at the purpose. Oh, I don't think we've never done it this way, or we've never done it that way. And the purpose of this is that we need, sometimes people are going to try to discourage us. Look what Nehemiah's response was in verse number 14. He says, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. There was two things. First, they were concerned about the rubbish, but then they were also concerned about their enemies. And they said, Nehemiah says, look, rise up, work, fight. Remember who you're fighting for. It's not just for you, it's for your sons and for your daughters and your wives and your house. This is your purpose. And that book of Esther says, for such a time as this. And for this moment and this time, God's putting you here. Now persist. Is it easy to become discouraged? It is. Is it easy to turn around and say, man, it'd be easier to give up. There's so much of a mess. It would be. But the truth of the matter, that is not your purpose in life. God did not save you and put you here so that way you'd be discouraged and quit. God wants you to continue on. And listen, persistence when tempted. I know some of you had to leave because of special ministries, but we'll finish up with this verse here. Chapter number 6, verse number 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. So in the story there, they're saying he's tempted. You know what they're saying? Hey, look, Nehemiah, stop building this wall. Come on over here and we'll make some type of agreement. Stop what you're doing and let's agree on what you do. We don't want you to keep on doing what you're doing. So instead of us fighting against you, maybe we come to some type of compromise. And many times we must make sure that we're persistent through ridicule and that we're persistent through discouragement. But we got to be persistent when we're tempted. Sometimes people will say, hey, look, if you stop going to church every single service, then I'll start doing this. What they're doing is trying to tempt you from doing what's wrong. They're trying to get you off that purpose that God's designed you to be. And you look what it says there at the end of that verse. They wanted to do him mischief. They really didn't care about him. They didn't care about the wall. They didn't care about the people. They could care less about the God of Israel, but they cared about their own things. Remember, God's got a purpose for your life. A right heart with a right conscience will give you that right purpose. So why are we here today? There are some things in our lives we really need to revive. Nehemiah talked about reviving those stones that had been burned already. And what's that purpose? We need to learn how to pray. Pray with a burdened heart. Pray with a burdened heart that has compassion, that is right with God, reminding God of his promises. Get personally involved. Get involved with, those are your purposes that God's given you. Share in the vision that someone else has, God has laid something upon their heart. And then be persistent with it. Continue on. God's purpose was not for you to quit. God's purpose was not, hey, I want you to serve me for these number of years and then quit. Retirement is, I know there's different things retired people can do versus other people, but retirement isn't God said, hey, look, when you hit a certain age, you don't do anything for me ever again. The Bible's filled with older people that did great and mighty things and the opportunities they had. Let me encourage you today. Live for God. Live for that right purpose. That you want to be the right husband, right wife, right family, right this, right that. I get that, but don't leave God out of it. Remember, you want to be on that right path. You want to be headed to that spot where God's working, where God's moving, where you see God's blessings. You want to be in that spot where you have joy, you have peace, you have contentment. There's a purpose for your life. If you're going to be there, you have to get to that purpose. Nehemiah, he saw it. He got to that spot. He got to that purpose because he revived the stone of prayer and purpose and persistence. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help in the service to follow.